Blog Talk Radio.
Playing Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah.
Back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Sip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the ride.
Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs.
Yes, Lord, we got a brand new present. Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of me.
Come on,
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Connecticut. Up is blazing, loosened up the tie, stepped aside, the kitchen timeless is alive. Sports City, what's going on? It's your boy TP Timeless back at the helm on a Sunday morning, getting all of this good food for thought ready for you guys. The call-in number is 929-477-2759. We got you locked and loaded for the next 90 minutes or more. You could have been anywhere else in the world, but you are here with the chefs. Man, it was a jam-packed weekend. Sport-wise, I'm talking about from baseball to college football to fighting in MMA to even fighting in the boxing world. And, oh, yes, we have week three to talk about with our picks and predictions and how things go down for the NFL Sunday season this weekend today. So we'll get into a lot of that as we try to get everything situated here in the kitchen, as we try to get things settled in. I'm going to start with the boxing and a shocker to me, but I do have my own opinion while we try to get this thing filled in. There was a fight between Alexander Usyk and Anthony Joshua, both in which in their own rights are champions, heavyweight contenders, having to make that break away from the European area and trying to, I guess, entice a lot of the viewers and watchers and fans of the boxing world. These two went at it yesterday, and Anthony Joshua has been the talk of the heavyweight division, or one of the three between Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury. And you have a situation in where Tyson Fury has actually been one of the boxers that actually made the jump away from Europe, while others stayed there and, like, talk from the high peaks of a mountain and saying that they're one of the better fighters in the division, which you got to respect because they did win their fight. And I give Anthony Joshua credit for actually taking care of business up against Klitschko. However, he had a fight up against Andy Ruiz that didn't go well the first time. Andy Ruiz ended up knocking him out, taking his belt from him, and then he had the rematch clause and then redeemed his defeat and taking care of business up against Andy Ruiz. Now enter this fight up against Usyk, and Usyk actually takes care of business in dominating Anthony Joshua. And again, from what I'm hearing, that there is a rematch clause in this situation. So I do want to give Usyk his credit. I've been watching him for quite a bit and waiting for him to have this situation where he would end up fighting a bigger or a stronger name fighter. And this is a bigger name fighter where Anthony Joshua was the bigger fighter and still ended up losing this fight. And I'm not content with watching him continue to have a rematch clause because he's basically feeling these guys out in that first bout. And then, know what these guys have in the second bout and end up winning that fight. So if that's the way you're going to stack up losses to be one of the better fighters, then I give you credit for actually being the rematch king. And that's, I hate to pick on Muhammad Ali, but that's similar to what Muhammad Ali did in the Frazier situation, where Frazier took care of him in the first fight, took care of him in the second and third fight. But I can't compare Anthony Joshua to Muhammad Ali at all. I feel like I'm being brutal doing that. But that's the only time I could really think of him rematching like a stronger opponent that took the belt from him. But this is something that's going to continue until they start to stop this clause. And Eddie Hearn just signed a contract with Anthony Joshua before the fight to keep these guys like lifelong you know, promoter and fighter together so they could try to corral as much money out of people. At least that's the way I'm looking at it. But I'm not content with seeing Anthony Joshua do this. He ran for Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder, one which was in the European area, one was in America, and he did not want to fight them. He loses his fight to Usyk, and I have questions. I want to answer them. If people have anything that they'd like to say toward me about the Anthony Joshua situation, I'm all ears. I'm all for it. I'd love to discuss it because I feel like Usyk is a great fighter. I don't want to take that away from him, but for him to be a 6'6", well-conditioned fighter and beating Vladimir Klitschko, not Vitaly, Vitaly's the older one, Vladimir Klitschko, and I feel like Vladimir Klitschko was a knockout artist. This actually bothers me to watch him continue to lose. This is like his second fight in, what, like a year and a half, 2 years' time. So I question this. Hopefully this Deontay Wilder, Tyson Fury fight actually has more of a storm, which I think it will, but to me, I'm going to say this here now. I think that Deontay Wilder will end up losing this fight again. He got saved by a knockdown the first fight. If he didn't knock down Tyson Fury to win the first fight, the second fight he gets knocked out, and he's fighting a boxer. He's a fighter, brawler. So you got to understand Tyson Fury knows exactly what he's going to do. Unless he gets caught with a sweeping right, that's what Deontay's waiting to land. I feel like this is a strong situation for Tyson Fury to actually win two out of the three fights. Okay, we do have people in the building calling out of the Connecticut region of the United States. We have the villain, a.k.a. Barry. Welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
What up, TP?
You got to turn up your volume. I'm okay. How you doing?
Sunday. It's a Sunday. You love it. You got sports. You coaching. What's going on, bro?
Not too much, man. Just getting into the thick of things. We start to fill in for this Sunday, and we also have Mr. Harvey himself. Mike, welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
Hey, man, thank you. How you doing?
Doing all right. Just kicking things off and getting into a lot of the discussion for this weekend before we start to get into the brutal stuff that went down yesterday and our pick the predictions as well.
I'm excited. Anytime I have an 18th red zone Sunday, usually have 17 every year, so this year we got one more. But anytime I get to spend a few hours in front of 7 hours of commercial-free football, timeless, it's a good day. So, and then, you said some interesting things in the boxing world that will be interesting to break down. But, yeah, man, I'm excited. Happy. Thanks for having me.
And also, there was also an MMA bout where I actually was getting, like, pushback from some people that didn't believe me. I don't believe in Brian Ortega, and people are like, don't say that because Ortega can fight. I'm like, I get it. He's a fighter that a lot of people respect in the UFC region, but his last couple of fights I was not impressed by, and he loses this fight, in which I didn't know that. I thought that he was on a string of losses, but the one thing I think about Ortega is he's going downhill with this loss, and I wonder how many people he can attract toward him fighting him, or if he can get back into a championship bout in which Volkanovski wins this one. They said this was a fighter of the year candidate, but if you look at the end of the fight and look at the way Ortega's face looked, Volkanovski took care of business in this fight. So I got to give Volkanovski credit for defending his title up against Ortega. Ortega is now probably going to have to fight his way back up to the mountaintop to try and get this fight back, just for me to get out of the fighting region. Anything that you guys would like to address before I get away from both the boxing and MMA with Anthony Joshua losing his belt to Usyk or Volkanovski beating Ortega in the MMA?
To your point, two things real fast. On the boxing, I think one of the reasons why Joshua won the rematch, even though he should be the superior fighter in that the first time, is because Ruiz didn't come back ready to fight, wasn't in kind of shape. He got lazy after he won that championship. And I think your prediction is right on Fury as well, unless Fury comes back not ready to fight. That's how Wilder wins that fight as well. And I hope that whatever happens, I hope that right now Anthony Joshua stays out of the way, so maybe Usyk will get the winner of this fight. But I have a feeling that with the way things go in the boxing world, you'll probably see a rematch before either one of the winner of this Wilder Fury fight get to try to unify those heavyweight championships.
Is there anything that you'd like to address also too, or?
Nope.
Okay. And the one thing about the Usyk Joshua situation that I'd like to address is, okay, so let's just say Andy Joshua does get this rematch granted to him. He wins the fight up against Usyk. What, does Usyk say he wants a rematch, or does he just go off into the sunset and take a loss? Like, that shouldn't be right. So then we look at it, what, being a part three and having this be a trilogy, kind of like Mickey Ward and Gotti, like, or Ali Frazier. Does this happen with these guys continuing to keep that fight game in Europe? So I don't know how to address this, but I want to be fair to Usyk. I don't want to be fair to Joshua because Joshua keeps making these contacts because he's scary or doesn't believe in his fighting style. Like, he'll come in there just looking like he's in excellent condition and lose the fight. So I don't know how fair that is. That's what I... Yeah, Mike.
You good? I think if it does happen, if he were to lose this next fight, he would have to win another fight, and it could set up a trilogy like that.
Okay, so we will get moving from that. Hopefully, we'll see how this actually translates as we get into the future of the boxing realm. Now, there's a lot going on in sports right now, and I don't know where to start, but I will try to at least get through the top 25 of the college football world if we can. First and foremost, we had Fresno State take care of business up against UNLV, 38-30. This was, I think, Friday night. This was Friday night that matchup went down. And as we enter the top 25 for Saturday, this gets even more interesting. Of course, Alabama wins their game up against Southern Miss, 63-14. Georgia wins by blowout, shutout, 62-0. Oregon wins their matchup against Arizona, 41-19. Oklahoma in a nail biter beats West Virginia 16-13, and they needed every bit of that fourth quarter to win that, being down 13-10 in the fourth and scoring two field goals to make that a game. Iowa wins their matchup, and this was a close one until it got late, 24-14. Iowa is hanging on to a top five position. We'll see how this actually translates moving forward. Penn State wins their matchup up against Villanova 38-17. Arkansas with the shocker of the day, beating Texas A&M 20-10 in Jerry's World. North Carolina State with the upset of the day, beating Clemson 27-21 in Raleigh, in which this went to double overtime, and them shutting down Clemson at the end of the day is a nail-biter, and I will probably address that in a little bit after I finish this. Ohio State wins their matchup up against Akron 59-7 in Columbus, actually taking care of business of the spread. The spread was actually 49.5. Some had it at 50. They actually got it at 52. And the crazy part about this is they needed a pick six with just minutes on the clock. And you know, if Ohio State got the ball back, they would have knelt the ball out. They ended up getting that pick six to cover like they knew what the spread was. Florida blows out Tennessee 38-14. Notre Dame wins their game by blowout 41-13, in which Wisconsin had this close until their quarterback started playing for Notre Dame and throwing the ball away. Baylor with another upset of the day, beating Iowa State in the nail biter 31-29. BYU comes up with a big win up against South Florida, even though it was a one possession game, 35-27, in which they were actually scoring late, being South Florida, to make this a game. Coastal Carolina wins their game 53-3 up against UMass. Michigan wins their game up against Rutgers by a touchdown, 20-13 in the Big House. Michigan State survives in overtime up against Nebraska, 23-20, in which Adrian Martinez throws a pick in overtime that gets returned to the 20, and just such an unfortunate situation where it looks like this could have been the big win for Nebraska on the season. They are still looking for another big win on the season, another upset of the day, and this is a bashing of an upset. Georgia Tech creams North Carolina 45-22, in which I must say, Sam Howell, I'm starting to question what's going on with you at the quarterback position. Even though you did put up some interesting numbers, this is a situation where you guys are only to put up 22 points up against Georgia Tech, where Georgia Tech is not a juggernaut to figure out. I'm scratching my head. I want to see which way you guys go in this ACC, and if there are more losses up your sleeve, as in conference contention, you've already lost two games on the season. The next one I have is Auburn winning their game up against Georgia State, in which this game was interesting late, until Auburn finally woke up out of their sleep, 34-24. Georgia State looked like they were going to win this game. I'm going to be brutally honest. They looked like they were going to win this one. UCLA wins their game up against Stanford 35-24. And last but not least, another upset on the day. Oklahoma State beats Kansas State 31-20 to round out at least the top 25. I know there are more games and things I'd like to address across the board in the college football realm, in which and I do have the villain here, and people that listen to me know that I'm an ACC guy and they know where my allegiance is. But I'm going to do this out of care, out of my heart, instead of being like nagging and talking junk. How long of a leash does Mike Norvell have in Florida State? Louisville is a team that does not have the weapons that should be able to knock off a Florida State team. I feel like Florida State is a better team than a lot of teams that they are losing to. They are off to an 0-4 start. The last time Florida State had an 0-3 start, forget 0-4, the last time they had an 0-3 start was the first year Bobby Bowden coached at Florida State in 1976. This is I don't even know which word to put behind un. like there's so many uns that I could put behind it, that this is what Bobby Bowden's Florida State team looked like after Jimbo Fisher left and them entering Taggart. Taggart can't fill the bill, and Mike Norvell can't fill the bill. Do they sit there and wait for like another year or two for Norvell to translate these players, or do they get rid of them as soon as possible? There are so many different questions that I have for Florida State, but this is appalling to see Florida State play like this. And the reason why I'm like talking this junk is because I'm a Hurricane fan. And knowing that we have, to me, I'm biased, but I'm telling the truth, I think we got the best rivalry in college football. I guarantee if they walk into that game 0-4, 0-5, 0-6, they're going to play their hearts out against Miami and play some good football. It's going to be like, well, where was that all season long? And why are you getting up just to play Miami but can't play everybody else tough? So I have my questions for Florida State. This is unacceptable to be one of the unwords that I could put there. But I will let my brothers get involved into this situation, see how you guys felt about at least the top 25 or what I'm getting on my Saturday rant about and what's going on in Tallahassee. And, oh, yes, the game took place in Tallahassee. It was not in Louisville, Kentucky. They were at the confines of being home. So I do want to get you guys to be aware of the situation, and I'm pushing the bill on this one. I'll come to you first on this one, Barry. Your thoughts on at least some of the top 25 games. If I missed a game that you were intrigued by, you could throw that in also. And I'll let you speak on your boys also.
Okay, so I'll start with the top 25, TP. I told everybody, I don't believe Clemson, and what happened? Clemson lost, and it didn't look good at all in that game. So, listen, Clemson is in trouble. The ACC as a whole is down, I think. Didn't look good. Notre Dame didn't look good early against Wisconsin. They got out to a lead. Wisconsin got back in the game, and then they pulled away late against a Wisconsin team. So, you know, good win for them on the road, but, you know, Notre Dame's got some work to do. I think they lost their quarterback Cone in that game, so we'll see what happens, what transpires out of that. You know, the top teams do what they do. So the upsets were surprising. I was surprised Clemson lost, but I wasn't surprised because I just don't believe them. You need more people. Florida State. The leash is shorter than short, TP. I think it's about if there was social distancing, those rules would be out the door right now. I think that's how short the leash would be. 0-4 is unacceptable, to your point. I looked at the game, I was watching it, and I'm looking in the stands, and I could see seats empty. I have rarely seen a Florida State game that I've watched. I've never been to Tallahassee. I would love to go, but I've never seen a game where the seats are empty. That's an indictment on the team and Noble. So, I said last week, a change of voice might be where it's at. You said, no, I mean, he just got there, but I mean, how can you let this go on? I think it's a wrap. I think after this start, if USC can do it midseason, I wouldn't be surprised if Florida State did it midseason as well.
I agree with you. That's a fun statement that you said, the social distancing situation would be out the door. And one thing I do want to say about the Notre Dame situation too, I do want to give a shout out to a team that me and Barry know so well. When their starting quarterback went down, entered a new Canaan High School quarterback to come in and save the day. While that game looked shaky early with Wisconsin going back and forth with Notre Dame. So I
think you know him, TP. I know of him. Our friends definitely know him, that coach around here in the FCAC. And, you know, last year, look, a fish out of water. And I agree. It was good to see him in there and actually, you know, play pretty well. So shout out to him.
Yeah, and the one thing about it is for him to go up against a big contender in Wisconsin, where I really thought Wisconsin could try to actually push Notre Dame around. They scored those double-digit points early in the game and couldn't even move the ball anymore. And that's the one question I do have about Wisconsin. They'll always have a strong running game, have the biggest line that we've ever seen, and they just put a regular or mediocre quarterback back there. When they need throws, he can't make the throws. And is this going to continue to be Camp Randall situation out there in Madison? I don't know, but this is a game where it actually showed on how things are supposed to move forward, at least in Big Ten play for Wisconsin. I don't feel like they're a strong team this season in the Big Ten. But, Mike, your thoughts on the top 25, any games that have caught your interest, the ones that were mentioned, and also your thoughts on how Florida State continues to not right the ship.
Ooh, okay, so I'm going to hit a couple things real quick. First of all, I think you're right about Wisconsin. They kind of have a curse of kind of what LSU had for a long time as far as being able to find a good quarterback. I feel like Russell Wilson was about the only thing good that they good quarterback they've had over the last several years. It was a transfer, and they went to a bowl game, but went to Rose Bowl that year, I believe. So that being said, you also have Penn State. I thought looked very, very vulnerable yesterday at home against Villanova. You mentioned that score. And then Iowa as well. I mean, this is a Colorado State team that lost to Vanderbilt that was leading them 14-7 in the second half. So Iowa looks vulnerable. I was talking to a longtime Iowa football fan the other day. He's just been a Hawkeyes fan his whole life. And he said, I said, you're Hawkeyes this year? And he's like, man, I'm not buying it. He said, we're number five right now. We always find a way to lose games we shouldn't. He said, but I can tell you, from all the Iowa teams that I've seen watching this one, this is not one of our better ones, in his opinion. So I guess I'm not kind of surprised by it, but it'll be interesting to see in that division, you know, what happens moving forward. And then to your point about that Auburn game, Auburn was down 24-12 with just 3 minutes to go. I don't know what happened with Bo Nix, but T.J. Finley, who is the LSU transfer, the Louisiana kid, leads them on a – he played some last year as a freshman for LSU until he really struggled and then got – pulled a couple times late in games for Max Johnson, and then Max Johnson started the last two games of the season last year. But T.J. Finley plays and leads them on a 98-yard drive with about 3 minutes to go to take the lead in that game finally. It was 24-19. They scored with a minute to go to take their first lead of the game. And then they went for two to go up three. And then on the next possession, as Georgia State is trying to force the ball down the field, they get a pick six to win by 10. So that game definitely was not the score doesn't do it justice as far as what kind of game it was. But it'd be real interesting because I don't know what's happening with Nix. If T.J. Finley is the starter, though, he's going right back to a stadium that he started in a few times last year and has won a game in already, going back home to face the home folks in Baton Rouge, and LSU took care of Mississippi State outside of the top 25. Yesterday, as far as Florida State, you know, they showed a little bit of life in this game, but it's bad right now in Tallahassee. I think that, especially considering that they're paying another coach right now to not coach there, that Norville probably is going to have a little bit longer leash than some people would like, but he's definitely going to have to find a way to write this shit. I don't see it happening anytime soon. But the guy has had success where he's gone before. We'll see if that can translate, you know, to a major conference.
And TP, can I respond to that real quick, bro?
Of course, yes.
Yeah, sorry about that, bro. I agree with you that they're already paying the previous coach, but I don't see money as an issue. If he's not the guy, he ain't the guy. I don't think they're going to pay to keep somebody around because – they're paying somebody else. I just don't buy that. It's been too long that this program was one of the best programs in the country. It hasn't even been close, hasn't even been talked about. And to your point, Auburn was they didn't show up in the first half. They didn't want to play that game. Not that they were afraid. They just didn't show up. And I think they were still shell-shocked from the Penn State game the previous week unacceptable performance from them, even though they won by 10 points. It's an unacceptable performance. I was disappointed in Knicks. I watched a little bit of the game because I saw the upset alert. Not impressed with Auburn. They shouldn't be ranked.
That's interesting because Georgia State is not a team that I feel should give them a fight. In that matchup, Georgia State had the lead and had Auburn fighting like hell to get back into that game. Unfortunately, Georgia State finally seen 12 o'clock hit the clock and the pumpkin happened. Everything, the rats came out instead of being people, you know, like everything fell apart for Cinderella. Glass slipper fell off, everything. And Auburn went into this. And Auburn's already coming off an interesting game as of last week and going into this game where you feel like they should redeem themselves in being at home and having to, you know, wait to the end of the game to basically watch Georgia run out of gas. Well, Georgia State, excuse me, not Georgia, because if they play Georgia, I feel like Auburn would get beat up badly. That's one. The Florida State situation, like I said again, I'm not even worried about, like, money, just like Barry said. I'm worried about them continuing to let a coach go there and make the product worse. Just looking at the athletes that Florida State has across the board, wide receiver, tight end, running backs, cornerbacks, safeties, they got athletes on across the board. How are you guys losing? And watching them lose to a quarterback named Malik Cunningham, well, this guy is not a great passer. He is a scrambler first. He runs first. It was like, you know what he's going to do, but he still was ending up making passes. He was completing passes up against Florida State's defense. And it's like, wait, this isn't the Florida State defense that I know. Like, I'm used to seeing on a year-by-year, decade-by-decade basis. Like, this isn't a push-around, poke-around Florida State. This is what they look like. And the Norville success came from when he was at Memphis. This is a bigger show. Like, you signed up for this. This has to get better, like now. But I'm trying to be fair to be like, okay, next year, because this is already a season where I feel like they're not going to be bowl eligible. I don't think Florida State is a bowl eligible team. When do they come up with 6 wins in their schedule? Like, they can end up probably knocking Miami off. But I don't feel like anybody on their schedule is a threat for them to beat. They lost to Jacksonville State at home. Like, there's nothing for me to say right there. I don't get it. That's puzzling. To say the most about what Florida State has right now, and I'm not picking on them because we're rivals. I'm picking on them as an analyst here. And like, wait, is anybody impressed by what they see? Florida State are losing games at home. I think 3 out of the 4 were home. The one game away was Wake Forest, and Wake Forest blew them out. Wake Forest blew them out. Like, I can't even
and
think
Wake
of the last
Forest
time
is
Wake
a better
Forest
team.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah,
I get it. I'm saying they blew
mm-hmm.
Florida State out. Like,
yep,
and they
yep.
and
wasn't competitive.
You can't sit here and tell me that Florida State. You can't sit here and tell me that Florida State don't have the athlete that Wake Forest has. Like, they're not outmatched.
They do. I can't say that. They do have the athletes, to your point, TP. And to your other point, why would you want Florida State in your bowl game? I mean, they'll sell tickets, maybe. I mean, but looking at a home game when nobody's there, I mean, what are we talking about? Like, I don't know, man. I think you have to hit rock bottom before you can pick yourself back up. And I just don't know if Noble is the guy that can help us pick ourselves back up right now.
Does he make it to next season is the question.
In a perfect world, he shouldn't. Mike might be onto it that he probably might. I don't know. I really don't. I'm at the point where I have my hands up in the air. I don't know. You know what I mean? I don't know if he's the guy. I don't know if you give him time to get a recruiting class in, or do you just, you know, scrap it, try to find the right coach and move forward. I don't know. I really don't know, bro. It's so frustrating.
Even watching how they recruit, they have not gotten a strong quarterback in it since Francois. Francois got injured. They got him out of the school. You know, like, outside of him, they had Blackman, couldn't quarterback. This guy in there, he's 3-0 almost every time they get a series. Every time Florida State get a series, he's 3-0. He's getting rid of the ball, and they, everybody's looking at him like, what's going on? Like, what do you need? You have the guys are actually outside winning. So the running backs are actually saving him if he hands the ball off. It's like that's what saving Florida State in these situations. I'm going to be brutally honest. If he loses more than 8 games a season, he's out of there. I can see if it's like a 5-7 or 6-7, something like that, if they end up playing that many games. If he loses more than 8 games, this is 4-8 or like 3-9, he's gone. I don't care how much they think they like him. He could be a good guy and he babysits kids after practice or something. No, you could gather your things and exit stage left because this is unacceptable, to say the least. No way. The Sandman can come get him. He could rub on that trunk out there on the side of the stage. Enough is enough. That's disgusting. And you know, the inner me, the hurricane in me, I'm up here with the Grinch of Christmas rubbing my hands with the grin like, yeah, all green, like I'm ready. You know, but, like, I love the sport of football. I'm not going to sit up here and just watch you be garbage. Stop that. That's disgusting.
I think the two games that'll tell the story is in November 13th against Miami, right? And then we're talking November 27th against Florida. If they don't show up to those games and it's a blowout and it's an eight loss season, I think the plug is pulled.
The Gator game has potential of being a blowout. That Miami game, I know they'll fight us. I don't care what it is. I don't care what's happening. I think we are
I think it's a blowout too, to your point. Yeah, it is. And to your point, though, if it's a blowout and it's ugly, like they're not competitive or anything, that taste in your mouth, you don't want to lose to your rivals that bad. So.
Okay, so we I'm telling you, Sports City, I'm trying not to get turned up as best as possible. I'm actually trying to pull up that schedule and seeing how things go. Just bear with me because I do have my own schedule. They play Florida, it is in Tallahassee, he's right. So they do play and where's that game for Florida? Is that in the swamp or is that in Tallahassee also?
Yeah, it's in the swamp. It's in the swamp.
People, I could feel like that game would be a blowout. You know what I'm saying? Because Florida's not playing around with people. They just gave Alabama a hell of a scare. They gave Alabama a scare. So I don't feel like that's something that is favorable, to say the least bit, for Norville and Florida State. I feel like they'll be outclassed, mm-hmm. outplayed. And outcoached, to say the least bit. Like, they have the athletes. That's an in-state rivalry. I feel like they should be able to get up for that game. But I've been proven wrong before, and especially by me actually having hope looking into November 13th as a game for me to worry about. Okay. So we are coming up on week 3 in the NFL season. Can't wait to get to some of these games, news, notes, things of that perspective, in which a game that I got to get ready for in Detroit has a lot of interesting things going on, but I still feel like it favors Baltimore. But I'll get into a lot of these games as we move forward in the matchups that we have here on Sports City. Is there anything else that you two would like to mention before I do get to the games of the week for this coming Sunday afternoon?
Yeah, real quick. I don't believe in Clemson and Oklahoma. I wasn't impressed. And you know what? I got to tip the cap to Rutgers. I mean, even though they lost on the road at Michigan, it was a competitive game. It came down to the last couple minutes. They impressed. I think Rutgers is turning the corner and getting back to where they were a couple, like 10 years ago when Shiano was there. So I'm impressed with them, even though they took a loss. And Michigan's running game is just really good. So, but they stopped the run. So, good job by Rutgers in a loss.
As of now, I'll give Michigan credit, but we will see when they play Ohio State. I could care less on what they do in this schedule. They have to play the thick of this schedule, and then I'll start to believe them because there are stronger teams this year in the Big Ten that are actually playing good ball. I want to see if Michigan could actually win these games, and if they could win on the road up against some quality teams, because they're doing a lot of these winnings of these games in the big house. So we'll see if they could get outside of Ann Arbor and pull some of these wins off, because I'm somewhat impressed. I feel like Harbaugh's starting to turn the thing around. But if they lose Ohio State by like 20 points, 30 points, I'm not buying that 5-year extension. They gave him a 5-year extension, and he's not beating the team not once. Like, no, I'm not.
Yeah, I don't know where they do that, and they've never done that in Michigan. If you can't beat, they don't care if you go 9-0 or whatever. If you don't beat Ohio State, it's a failure. So to your point, TP, I totally agree with you. He has got to beat Ohio State this year. I'm sure that was the mandate when he signed that contract. You better start beating Ohio State.
At least one. You're an NFL coach. Okay. You went from Stanford with Andrew Luck and having a good run with Andrew Luck being one of the top three quarterbacks coming out and then getting to the NFL and playing with Colin Kaepernick and Alex Smith and getting to a Super Bowl and basically a fourth down play where Kaepernick made the wrong read going to Crabtree because Randy Moss was wide open in the end zone. They'd had a touchdown if it was less. And now you get – from what you've learned from Pac-12 football to Bay football out there with San Francisco, to now getting to the Big House, I feel like you've declined. But they respect you because you are the comeback kid from Michigan. They're not going to mess with you. They're not. Plus, your brother's still coaching in the NFL. Like, you got so much lineage to football is what I'm hinting to say the least. So we'll actually see the Rutgers situation. They've actually played good ball, but I want to see them win a big game. They have to win a big game for me to accept what Rutgers is able to do. Shiano of Miami, coach, so you know I'm partial to him just because for what he was able to do while he was with the Canes. But we'll actually see how that pans out. There's another thing I have to say. Did you see the basketball game? Wait, I don't know if you guys seen the basketball game. There's a basketball game yesterday.
No, I didn't.
It took place in Austin, Texas. It was Texas Tech Red Raiders versus the Texas Longhorns. The score was 70 to 35. They are still scoring points in that dog game.
I think they finally let the dogs off them, right?
Right. This is why I, like, laugh at the Big 12. This is funny. Like, come on. Texas Tech, you're going to continue to have these games. You guys give up 70 points. Like, every year they have a game where it's like that. Like, that's unacceptable for them to actually be one of the teams you have to worry about because they can score points. But you can score points on them, too. That's bad. Bad because the Texas team that you know is willing to try to get a win because they've looked bad for a decade or better. Texas has looked bad for a decade or better, but they're actually trying to turn the corner. But they pummeled you guys in the in-state rivalry. Pummeled them. So I don't know if you guys watched the basketball game, but it was one that took place. Red Raiders actually lost by 35 in a basketball game.
Yeah, that was a beatdown. I didn't watch. I started to watch the game, and I was going to turn to it. I was like, ooh, Texas Tech. That'd be a good game. I looked at it. It was like 40-something. I was like, oh, Lord have mercy. Let me go back to the Notre Dame game.
Forget it, man. Hey, look, that's like when the broadcaster come on and say, in other news, you know.
Exactly. Oh, man. Yeah, it was ugly.
Okay,
it was ugly, TP.
Okay, so let me go to these games as we get into week three of the NFL season. The call-in number is 929-477-2759. The first game I have on slate is the football team up against the Bills. And this is taking place in Buffalo. Is there anybody in the kitchen right now that believes the football team can go into Buffalo and steal this game? The Bills are favored by a touchdown.
I do not.
Okay.
I don't think so. I would take that touchdown. I would take Buffalo minus 7. I think the defense in Washington isn't as good as it's being billed. I think that the Giants were able to run all over them. I think the big thing was the run option that Daniel Jones was able to run. The defensive end sinking into the run, and he was running right around them. If you do that against Josh Allen, he will be running for days. So I expect them to look at that Giants game film, break it down, and exploit everything they saw against that defensive line. I like the Bills in this game, TP.
Do you think this is a situation where Josh Allen will have to take off early because of Chase Young's pressure? I think he can win a lot on that corner to get to him. If Josh Allen doesn't get that time, well, he'd be picking up a lot of yardage, like, with his feet instead of moving the ball through the air.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the way. I haven't seen a lot from Allen this year as far as the complete – it's only two games, but I think he hasn't played up to the billing that we thought he was going to have when he signed that big contract and after a really MVP-like season. But I think this is a game where I think he can kind of right the ship. I think they can get into a flow. I think after the Miami game – even though they won, I saw some things that, you know, he could do a little bit better. So I think this is a good time for him to get going against this Washington team, maybe, you know, on some bootlegs, some rollouts, and kind of, you know, get Chase Young off the spot, who hasn't really played too great this year. He's being keyed on a lot as well. So we'll see.
Okay.
It's different once the attention starts getting on you.
Say it again, Mike.
I said it's different once the attention gets on you and teams start gearing more towards trying to lock you down. Even the best players have to continue to adjust. And I haven't seen him make those adjustments yet, to Barry's point.
Okay, the next matchup I do have is the Bears going into Cleveland up against the Browns, in which Jarvis Landry is ruled out, and this may be some time before he gets back on the field. Odell is questionable. We'll see if he actually gets to the field. Hopefully Cleveland does have him to help them, but they do have a strong running game. But this is up against an interesting front four or front seven Bears defense. I was actually looking forward to Justin Fields to pull off an interesting win as a starter in the NFL. I'll come to you first on this one, Mike. Your thoughts on the game. Who do you like and why? The Bears visiting the Browns.
Well, I'm excited to see Justin Fields get the start. I know a lot of people were clamoring for that going into week one, so it's nice to see, you know, what he can do against this Browns team with Myles Garrett and company on the other side of the ball staring him in the face. You know, I think this game really comes down to, can the Bears stop the run? A lot of people have a tough time trying to stop that duo of backs that the Cleveland Browns offer up. And so I think that probably being at home and probably with that stout run game, whatever, I would probably favor the Browns in this game. And so I would take the Browns. What is the point? What's the number on that right now?
7.5 is the spread.
I don't know if I like the points, though. I like the Browns to win the game, but I'm not sure what I think about the points.
Yeah, that 7.5 is very iffy for me. Barry, how do you feel about this matchup? The Bears are visiting the Browns in Cleveland. Barry, can you hear me?
Oh, sorry about that. Yeah, I was sitting there talking. I'm like going, yeah, you know, yeah, what? Stupid mute. You know, to Mike's point, it's an exciting time for the Bears fans to finally get the guy that they wanted and Justin Fields to start. But to look at the game last week, Dalton was the better quarterback. I mean, Fields didn't really particularly play well. He had a pick. He had one deep ball to, I think, Robinson that Robinson usually catches and dropped. Didn't look. I just said it on the NFL Free For All show Tuesday nights at 9 o'clock with Sirius that I didn't think Fields looked good. I didn't think he looked ready. So we'll see if the Bears can protect him and if the Browns can you know, exploit him. I think the Bears did really good against Mixon last week. Held him to 69 yards rushing on 20 carries, so under like almost three yards a carry. So they're going to need that defensive front to do the same against this this team that, you know, features two really good running backs in Hunt and Chubb. So to me, I like the Browns in this game. I like Baker Mayfield to do some play action. Odell will play today. He is available. So I think but you listen, Baker spread the ball out around a lot last week. I expect him to do more of the same. I would take the points. I would take +7. I think it's going to be a close game, to Mike's point. I don't think they'll win by over a touchdown, but I think the Browns will win this game.
Interesting matchup. Baltimore Ravens come to Detroit. They went from an 8.5 favorite. This fell all the way down to 7.5, and I think it's due to the nature of what's going on with the Baltimore Ravens. There are a lot of different COVID cases out there in Baltimore in which they had Lamar Jackson questionable. I think he is a go. And he is actually one of the league-leading rushers, not just the quarterback in passing. Well, I think his passing stats aren't as electric as other quarterbacks, but he's actually one of the top five rushing leaders in the league right now. And it's fallen a point. So I'm intrigued about what this is. I'll start with you first on this one, Barry. Baltimore versus Detroit and Detroit.
This is a tough game. This is after a big win. This is a game where you can fall, and it's a trap, right? So I think, to be honest, I think the Lions are going to take this game at home. I think the Ravens were on such a high, I think it kind of covered up some of the things that I saw. That defense is not playing well. And I think the Lions can they can run on them. I think they could be a little bit physical with their running back tandem. And Swift, I think I'd like the Lions to get their first win in this game, even though they lost last week. I liked what I saw in the second half against the 49ers. I think they moved the ball against the Packers. They just didn't cash in as much that Monday night game. I like the Lions in this game.
Well, we have an upset alert. Okay, we'll start there. Mike, how do you feel about this matchup? Baltimore visiting the Detroit Lions at Ford Field.
There are some things about the Lions that have impressed me that I've seen over the first couple weeks. I think they're going to be in the win column very soon. I don't think it's this week. I like Baltimore to find a way to win this game, but I do not like the points in this game either. I think it's too many.
Interesting enough, the over-under is at 50.5. So this went up as it was at 50. Mm. It went up a half a point, but the spread went down. So I'm wondering what Vegas is up to. If I were to touch this via spread, I wouldn't mess with the points. If I were to do like a money line, I would go with Baltimore. But like me, with my heart, I'm going to go with my boys because I feel like if they can actually try and corral Lamar, especially with him with a stomach issue that's ailing, I don't know how much he can exert running the ball, but I know he can take off and make people miss like crazy. But if they could actually force him to be a passer, this is actually work to help us, at least somewhat. But our corners have to step up and play the type of ball we're dealing with, injuries across the board in that secondary. But at least this is Lamar Jackson, the passer, where he has to continue to prove that he can make himself be a legit passer, where a lot of people question this. I feel different about him. I feel like he's a all-purpose quarterback where a lot of people don't give him credit. But if they can actually focus on keeping him in the pocket and trying to stop him from scrambling, I feel like this is an interesting game. Money line, I would go with Baltimore. My heart is with Detroit, but with the spread, I feel like Detroit may make this a game. I don't think this will be a blowout. So this is something that I'm watching closely. Of course, you know I'm going to be watching every second of this game. Moving into the next matchup, we have the Indianapolis Colts up against the Tennessee Titans. Got somebody in the building. Calling in from the New York region, we have Mr. Controversy. James, welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
I am doing good, TP. How are you doing today?
Going all right. Your thoughts on this game as the Colts are going into Tennessee trying to beat the Nashville Titans?
Tennessee Titans are not the team we expected them to be. They haven't looked good. They didn't look good in their win. They definitely didn't look good in their loss, but Carson Wentz, I don't believe, is playing this week. So if you add that on top of the already trepid performance, I can't in good faith pick the Indianapolis Colts in this game. So I'm going to go with Tennessee in this one.
Wentz is scheduled to start, I believe, with Brett Hundley standing in the wings in case he can't go.
Interesting.
So, Mike, your thoughts on the game, or we'll go right to you, Mike. How do you feel about the game, the Colts visiting Tennessee?
You know, I thought that Tennessee really came off the mat last week. That Arizona offense is pretty good. I thought that Tennessee bounced back in that game. That was a big win for them last week against Seattle. I do think that they have underperformed in some areas, but against Seattle last week, Derrick Henry kind of wore him and had his game. If Derrick Henry can play well, they're going to be hard to stop. I think that with it being in Nashville, I think that Tennessee finds a way to get it done because right now, even though I don't think that's a very good division yet, I think that Tennessee is the best team in that division. But that Colts-Titans game has always been, you know, we always talk about division games being close and you never quite know, but I'm picking Tennessee today.
Barry, who do you like in this matchup, Colts or Titans?
What is it, -4.5? I'll take that. I don't like what I've seen from the Colts so far, especially on defense. The offense is kind of sputtered. Jonathan Taylor has not gotten it going. I expect him to be a workhorse today. I expect him to get some points. I actually like him in dailies, but I don't like the Colts at all in this game. I think Tennessee – to Mike's point, they picked themselves off the ground last week, got a big win. I think they bring that momentum and they put the Colts in a deeper hole in that division.
And it's funny that they are trying to start Wentz and he sprained both of his ankles. Like, this is ridiculous. If the Titans don't go in there and tattoo him or tee off on him, something's wrong. Because that one thing that lies in Wentz's game is that he likes to scramble. He's a mobile quarterback that can make throws on the run. If they can't stop him while he's injured, I question Tennessee moving forward. I'm going to go with the Titans. Also, I'm hoping that Tannehill step up. I've been picking on Tannehill for years, and this is actually starting to finally show his head, that Tannehill turning back into himself. He's been riding that Cinderella cart for quite some time, and it's about to strike 12 because he has Julio and AJ on outside, and they are not making a big difference. It's been Derek toting that ball and leading the league in rushing yards. The next matchup I have, is there anybody here in this doggone kitchen that believes the Chargers can go in the Arrowhead and upset the Chiefs?
I think this game is going to be a lot closer than you think, but I'm not picking them to win.
I believe they could. I don't think they will, because with the divisional game and that sometimes when that Chargers offense gets going, they can be pretty good, but they're not going to win tonight. That Chiefs team is mad, too, after last week, so. I think it's going to be a not very pleasant day for the Chargers.
The villain says yes. I do not like what I see in Kansas City right now. That offensive line is not looking great. That defense is suspect. There's two games that I have not liked what I've seen in that defense in Kansas City. I mean, Mahomes is going to be Mahomes. They're going to score their points. But I think Herbert's going to get off. If you got Allen in for Daly, start him. I'd like this game. I think take Chargers plus 7. I think they will win outright.
Ooh. Yeah. Man, Barry picked the Lions over the Ravens. And I'm just going to pick against Barry in every single game, I think. I think Barry's looking to try to go over for the week.
This is the crazy part about everything going on right now. I don't think in Mahomes' career in the NFL, he has lost back-to-back games. I don't think that's happened. So,
there's
him
a first
losing
time for everything.
I get you. Look, with him losing a game to Baltimore, in which they had an 11-point lead in the fourth quarter, there has to be talk swirling around that building, in which partially some of it was his fault, that interception that he threw, that flick of a pass that he thought he could get away with. And also with Clyde Allaire coming up with a fumble late actually helps spill doom for them. But I don't think that this is a situation where the Chargers actually take advantage of the situation. I feel like the Chiefs could actually manhandle these guys, especially with an angry team. This is an angry team that's been to the Super Bowl the past two times, been to the AFC Championship three out of the last three championships and won two of them. So they got to get right back into the saddle. If they lose two in a row, you know the questions are going to start to loom is, Mahomes losing his touch? Is Andy Reid turning into Andy Reid from the NFC East? Like, so there's a lot of questions to fulfill. I don't know if the Chargers can actually win this game, but that 7 may be quite the stretch. But at least I feel like that's why the 7 is there, because how strong this offense is. This offense is just too strong to deal with on a game-by-game basis. Okay. So the next matchup we have is a very interesting one. The New Orleans Saints visit the New England Patriots in Foxborough, Massachusetts. I will go around this doggone brunt to see how you guys feel about it. Barry, your thoughts, the Saints up against your Patriots.
My Patriots? That's unacceptable. It's a close line. 3 points, I'll take that. I like what I've seen from Mac Jones so far. Hasn't done much to lose games. You know, I think he's got an over 75% completion percentage, only one touchdown. But I didn't like what I saw out of Jameis last week. He kind of fell into some old habits. Me and Sirius talked about it on Tuesday on the Free For All show. So I think he has to clean that up. I think they get the coaches back from the COVID protocol, so that's going to be a help for the Saints. But at home, I like the Patriots in this game. I'll take the 3 points. So minus 3 on the Patriots. The Patriots, not my team. My team. Funny.
Yes, he does. Wait till I talk to my niece and nephew about this one. I'm going to come to you on this one, James. Your thoughts on this matchup? The Saints or the Patriots? Who do you like in this matchup, and why?
I like the Patriots for all the reasons that Barry mentioned, but that defense is starting to come back into its own as well for the New England. So, and they're making a lot less mistakes than they did with Cam behind the helm. So I'm taking New England.
My turn.
I'll actually go with New England at home. Making it interesting for Jameis Winston and his offense. I want to see what Belichick draws up to actually slow down this offense as best as possible. We'll see if Jameis can actually make the transition from losing an interesting game up against the Panthers and if he can actually save the team from going to a two-game losing streak. It's something that I want to see. I'm going to go to the resident Saints fan here himself, Mr. Harvey. How do your boys get out of Massachusetts with a win?
Well, we got to run the ball. We got to protect the quarterback. Jameis has to take care of the football, right? I mean, those are the three things that have to happen. I'm going to represent my team and go out on an island and be the only person in the kitchen today to pick the Saints just because I'm going to represent with my team. I feel like it's not something that if I take my fan glasses off and actually look at it, Saints still got some injuries. They're banged up, and they're not as healthy as I would like them to be going into Foxborough. But I'm going to say they find a way on the defensive side of the ball to rattle the rookie quarterback, and they get it done today. I think that Jameis is going to have some up and down games this year. I'm going to say that today somewhere in the middle of the first 2 weeks, and he does enough. And who that nation leaves Massachusetts flying down south with a victory under their belt.
I like the curd. I don't like the pick. But we'll see. We will see. I just want to see if Jameis Winston can figure out William Belichick. If he can figure out William Belichick, I will give him credit, tip my hat. And Mike will be the only one picking his team, so I'd have to give him credit for him being the one to go on the deep end to go with the Saints to get out of Gillette with a win. This probably is the game of the day that I'm coming up to, people. I have to do this. The Atlanta Falcons visit Barry's second team in New York Giants. How do you guys feel about this match? How do you guys feel about this matchup? They both are 0-2. They both, I think, have glimpses of potential to win games, but nobody wants to win. I think they get to the fourth quarter and say, oh, you can win. No, you can win. Well, hold my beer. I'm going to show you how to win. Oh, you can have it. All right, watch this one. So this is what's happening. Matty Ice versus Danny Dimes. Who has a cooler name? No, I'm not going to do that. But who wins this game and why? I'll start with you first, James. The Falcons or your Giants?
I ain't taking them. I'm going to take the Falcons in this game. Kenny Galladay's going to be seeing depleted touches. He is going to play, but it's not going to be much. So I'm reading that as decoy all the way, and I think that the Falcons are going to see past that. So I'm going to take the Falcons, who are more healthy in this game.
Okay. I'll throw this one around and see how you guys feel about this. Mike, how do you feel about this matchup, Atlanta or New York?
You know, I look at this matchup, and I think somebody has to find a way to get a win because neither one of these teams are very good football teams. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't even remember these two teams were playing each other today. Remind me where this game is taking place.
It's in New Jersey.
I think the home team, when it's close and it's two bad teams, I'm going to say the home team will find a way to get out with a win today, and I'll pick the Giants.
Okay, so since he is my brother, since I go to war with this dude every week, I'm going to go with the Giants to beat Atlanta, and here's why. And I feel bad in the way that I am going to use this as my talking point for them to win the game. The running game. I feel like Saquon Barkley can finally have a good and effective day to help the Giants win this game at home. And please, Joe Judge, whatever you do, do not force feed this guy because this is what you guys did last year to pop this guy's knee in the same doggone week three up against the Chicago Bears. Do not force feed him. You guys just go along with the script. Let Danny make some throws. Let him scramble if he needs to. But let Saquon eat this defense up because this defense is not promising. I feel like the Giants can actually win this game at home. I do not believe in the Falcons. They need more people. Okay, Barry. It's your second team up against the Falcons coming into your crib. How do you feel about this game?
So disrespectful. It's not my. This is my team. I don't have a second team. I don't understand why TP treats me like this. It's like I love him. He's a brother of mine. But listen, Michael, you're disrespecting me right now. How are you gonna pick my team? Oh, I didn't know they were even playing. Like, come on, everybody plays in the first couple weeks, in the first month of the season. So disrespectful. Listen, this is at home. This is Eli Manning Day. We are retiring his jersey. The Giants are gonna come in home and they're gonna slap around the Falcons. Controversy. Take yourself off mute and you disrespect me again. I'm gonna come at you. The Giants, take the points. We are coming in. We're gonna beat them bad. Saquon Barkley is a must start. If you have Saquon Barkley in daily, put him in. I put him in. Put Danny Dimes in there. Danny, he will have a good game. He's going to run the ball and pass the ball. That defense is beat up. Terrell is not playing today. He's the cornerback. They're going to run all over this team. Take the Giants. Eli Manning, number 10, future Hall of Famer, getting retired. Let's go. Stand up.
I mean, are you sure you're not talking about leading rusher for the team, Daniel Jones, maybe running all over the team instead of Saquon Barkley?
They're both going to run the ball all over him. I'm here all week.
Okay, so we will move right along as this guy is at the wit's end. We will get into the next matchup. The Cincinnati Bengals are against the Steelers. It's a very interesting matchup. I don't know. I will actually go first. I'm going to go Pittsburgh winning this game at home, but I think the Bengals will make this a game. Looking at the spread is 2.5. This is scary. This is scary, especially with the Steelers coming off of a loss, too. I still feel like the Steelers should and can win this game, but there are threats on the offensive side of the ball for the Bengals. I'll go around this room and see how you guys feel about it. I'll come to you next, Barry. Your thoughts, the Bengals visiting the Steelers.
I said in my article on SportsCityChefs.com, go read the article. If you've got survivor pool picks, this is a game you stay away from. I am scared of this game. T.J. Watt is not playing. He's hurt. The offensive line for the Steelers is horrid. I think they're worse than the Giants. Serious, holla at me. But, I mean, listen, I like the Bengals in this game. I don't like what I'm seeing in Pittsburgh. I just really don't. I think Burrow is going to have a nice little day. They can't run the ball. The Steelers can't run the ball. I don't like what I'm seeing in Pittsburgh. I think the Bengals come in an upset.
Okay. Mike, your thoughts on the game. Who do you like and why? Bengals or Steelers in Heinz Field?
Pittsburgh has always had Cincinnati's number, year in and year out. It doesn't matter the team. Even when it looks like Cincinnati is going to find a way to win the game, even in playoff games and whatever else, when matched up against the Steelers somehow, the Bengals somehow manage to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory and come out on the losing end. I don't think today would be any different. I'm going to take the Steelers. But to echo Barry, stay away from it in survival.
James, your thoughts on this game? Bengals or Steelers in Heinz Field, who do you like?
As far as I know, T.J. Watt's expected not to play. That's going to be a major blow to defense. Besides the ball, Pittsburgh Steelers aren't exactly looking like they used to either. I usually tend to overhype the injury report a little bit too much, but T.J. Watt is defensive player of the year. I think that's going to cause a little more problems, especially with the pass-happy offense like the Cincinnati Bengals. So I'm going to actually take the Bengals in this game to make the win.
Okay, we have one lone soldier for the Bengals. This is interesting. Okay, next matchup we have are the Arizona Cardinals visiting the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Cardinals are favored by 7.5. I'm iffy about this game. I really feel like Jacksonville could actually pose a threat for an upset today. to me, this is upset alert, and I really feel this, especially with what the Cardinals are actually facing going into this building, especially with interesting perspectives with DeAndre Hopkins and things like that. But I want to see how you guys feel about this game. I'll go to you first on this one. Mike, your thoughts? Cardinals visiting the Jaguars.
I think the Cardinals win, and I think the Cardinals cover.
Okay, James, your thoughts on this matchup? No, go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry.
No, no, you're good. I was just going to say, I haven't really seen anything yet from Jacksonville that shows me that they're ready to really compete. Maybe today they show something different to me, but I just think this Cardinals team is clicking and going to be a problem for the Jags today.
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, when we take a look at the Jacksonville Jaguars, I just like, because this team looks like they have the players to be able to compete with just about any team in the NFL, but they continue to not do so. So I think this is going to be a really short tenure for Urban Meyer, and I wouldn't be surprised if he starts looking at potentially, like, I don't know, whatever jobs start opening up. I don't know if the USC job got filled yet, but he's going to start poking around because they're going to continue to lose because Urban Meyer's just not an NFL head coach. I'm going to take the Cards.
Okay, Barry, your thoughts on the game? Who do you like and why in this game, Cardinals or Jaguars?
I'll be brief. I like the Cardinals. I think I had the minus eight. I'll take that. Not seeing much out of Jacksonville, to Mike's point. Hopkins is going to play, but I expect Rondell Moore to have a big game. And I think the defensive line is going to get after Trevor Lawrence. I like the Cards.
Okay, I repeat. This will be an upset alert. I'm going to go off the deep end and say that the Jaguars win this game. There's a lot of things pointing toward this, including some things that I'm looking at on the Jag side of the ball that makes it look like that he's going to electrocute this defense, and that being the rookie, Trevor Lawrence. I like this game, Jacksonville. I'm going off the deep end for an upset alert. The next matchup, is there anybody in this bunch right now that feels the New York Jets have a shot in Denver up against the Broncos at all?
So, yeah, another victim for the league lead or for the NFC West leading Denver Broncos and their quarterback. Trade for a sixth round pick, by the way, Teddy Bridgewater. No, just thought I'd mention that.
So I like controversy's team and the Denver Broncos is adopted team. The Teddy Bridgewater fan club is rolling into home against the Jets at Mile High. To quote Vince McMahon, you got no chance. That's what you got. You got no chance in hell. I don't like the Jets in this game. I picked the Panthers in my survival pool. Congratulations. But my other pick was the Broncos. Minus 10, I'll take that. Jets, no chance in hell.
So, and I repeat, is there anybody that thinks that there is a shot for the Jets up against the Broncos? Anybody? Okay, so that silence helps me. The next matchup I'm going with, is there anybody that feels the Miami Dolphins can go into Las Vegas up against the Raiders and survive up against a 2-0 hot Raiders team at this point in time?
Do we have an update on Tua right now? Is he out?
Okay. He's at least 3 weeks. He's on the IR with he's got a fracture in the ribs.
Ah.
It's funny how a lot of people think they're outsmarting everybody, and not in the kitchen right now. But I've been hearing takes all over Clubhouse in different places where people are saying, "Take the Dolphins today. You do it if you want to. If you want to do that, call me. I'll take your money." Raiders win today.
I like the Raiders, too. I think with the backup quarterback situation, Jacoby Brissett, you know, he moved the ball a little bit, but I think the Raiders, they're playing some good football. Derek Carr, early on, one of the best stories after Teddy Bridgewater with the controversy fan club. I like what Derek Carr is doing this year, Darren Waller. I like the Raiders in this game.
Okay, and this is probably the game of the day that I'm going into. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers go on the road across the country up against Matthew Stafford and the L.A. Rams and Aaron Donald and company with this defense. How do you guys see how this goes down? I'll come to you first on this one, the villain. Who do you have, Stafford, or there's a story of a guy named Brady?
I am picking the Rams. I like the Rams in this game. I like what I've seen from Stafford so far. Cooper Kupp's going to go off. Put him in your lineup for daily if you have him. If you have him for regular fantasy, obviously start him. I think the Rams defense can get after Brady. I think, you know, Aaron Donald, since 2020, has the best passer rush rate, getting pressures on quarterbacks, and he's constantly double-teamed. I look for him to get off. I like the – listen, the Bucs have a good offensive line, but I saw some holes a little bit last week with the Falcons. They were able to get some pressure on Brady, get him off the spot a little bit. I think the Rams can do that. I think they're going to win this game. I think it's even last I saw, but I think I heard 1.5 for the Bucs. I'll take it. I'll take the Rams outright to win this game.
Okay, James, your thoughts on this game? Who do you like and why? Brady or Stafford?
This is the game of the week, and by far, I really don't know who's going to win this game. If I have to make a pick, and I do, I'm going to take the Rams. It's hard. The Rams do have the benefit of not really having to rely on their running game too much. Stafford can throw the ball around the yard and continue to do it. So. One of the better run defenses in the league, and Tampa Bay doesn't really affect the game plan as far as the Rams are concerned. So I'm going to take them.
Okay, Mike, your thoughts on the game? Who do you like, Brady and company or Aaron Donald and company?
I like Aaron Donald and company, especially at home. I think it's a close game. I have no confidence one way or the other to bet this game. I just that Rams defense is something serious. I think they're going to give Tampa a little bit of fits, but you know, it could be a learning lesson for Tampa. You know, come late January, we'll see. But since I got to pick it, I'm going to take the Rams at home.
Okay, we do have Aaron in the building. Aaron, welcome to the brunch. How are you doing today?
I'm good, John. How are we doing today?
Doing all right. Your thoughts on this matchup, Tampa Bay at L.A.?
You know what? I mean, I understand why people are picking the Rams. I'm not going to say I'm poo-poo that. But I lose a lot of money and a lot of sleep betting against Tom Brady. I expect it to be close. I expect, you know, both offenses to move the rock and be able to do what they want to do. All the reasons that everybody's picking the Rams, I hear you. But if it's close, Brady's going to find a way to get it done. So the only way, in my opinion, that the Rams ball game is if it's a blowout, and I just don't see the Rams blowing out Tampa Bay Buccaneers with that type of firepower on the Tampa Bay side. So give me Tampa Bay and a close one, but give me Tampa Bay.
Barry, did you pick this, or did I cover everybody on this?
Yeah, I got this. I picked the Rams, bro.
Okay, so we'll move right along into the next matchup. The next matchup I have is an interesting one. The Seattle Seahawks going into Minnesota up against the Vikings. The Vikings looking for their first win. Seattle is now 1-1 on the season. I don't know which way to go with this one. I will go first. I really feel like the Seahawks should win this game. Dalvin Cook is out from what I'm hearing, unless I hear otherwise coming into this game. But I'm going with Russ to actually put up a dynamic game up against this Vikings team. I'll get this one around the building. I'll come to you next on this one. Barry, who do you like in this game and why? Seahawks and Vikings.
Yeah, I don't like what I'm seeing in that defense. Letting up a lot of points to the Bengals and to the Cardinals. I like Seattle in this game. To your point, controversy said Cook is out. That kind of crushes my fantasy team, my regular team. But yeah, I don't like Seattle. -2, I'll take that. I think Seattle's going to win this game.
Okay, moving right along. I'll come to you next on this one, Aaron. Who do you like in this matchup, Seattle or Minnesota?
You know, funny you mentioned defenses because, honestly, neither one of these teams seems to be able to play defense. So I've struck a lot of points to be scored. Again, if you got Justin Jefferson, Madison, Thielen, throw him in your lineup. Kirk Cousins, I expect him to throw up a solid day. On the flip side, any of the receivers for Seattle, put them in your lineup. So I expect a lot of points. I'm driving right now, so I don't see what the over or the numbers are. But here's the thing. I want to start calling it an upset, but give me Minnesota here. I think desperate times call for desperate measures. I think when one player goes down, the other team tends to rally and play well. Let's keep it a say. The Minnesota Vikings should have at least one win on their ledger from last week. They played significantly well late against the Cincinnati Bengals week one. So, you know, all things, you know, create equal. This should be a decent ball club, but, you know, record is what the record is. So give me Minnesota any upset here, if you want to call it an upset. But I take the points. I think there's going to be a lot of points in this matchup.
Mike, who do you like in this matchup, Seattle or Minnesota?
I think Seattle. I think Minnesota could have had one win on their ledger already this year. I don't think with Dalvin Cook out, I don't know that they have enough. I do think it's going to be high scoring because I think Cousins will throw. And I think that, as you said, as Sirius just said, that Seattle defense is questionable. But I have Seattle, and part of it's picking my heart, too. It will not hurt my feelings as a Saints fan if the Vikings start the season 0-3.
James, who do you like in this matchup, Seahawks or Vikings?
I'm going to take the Seahawks in this game. I know there's going to be a point when Tyler Lockett just pulls a 180 and all of a sudden they're throwing to DK Metcalf again. I'm hoping it's not this week for fantasy purposes, but it's kind of the curse of having Tyler Lockett on your fantasy team is that eventually he's gonna throw you a dud every once in a while, and this could be it. But either way, it's gonna be a high scoring game. I am taking the Seattle Seahawks.
Okay, and the last matchup for Sunday night is the Green Bay Packers going up against the undefeated San Francisco 49ers. Who do you guys like and why? I'll go to you first on this one, Aaron. Your thoughts on the game?
You know, honestly, this is a show-me game for Jimmy Garoppolo and the San Francisco 49ers. You know, the 49ers are without their starting running back, their backup running back, Elijah Mitchell, probably is not going to go today. So that leaves it all on the shoulders of the rookie, Trey Sherman. And it doesn't seem to matter who they got in that lineup. They can just run the ball. So for me, it's going to come down to whether Green Bay is going to be able to stop the run. According to what I'm understanding, Zadarius Smith is out for this game, the defensive tackle for the Green Bay Packers. I don't think it's going to matter too much. Give me A-Rod with the lights on. His weapons kind of got themselves right on Monday night versus TP's Lions. So with that being said, give me Green Bay to find a way to get this win here. And everybody right the ship, you know, stop talking about Green Bay being scrub, man. It's a good team out there, and I think they're going to do well.
Okay, how about you, James? How do you feel about this game? Aaron Rodgers going back home to California up against these Niners.
One of the great things about not being a Lions fan anymore is I don't have to hate on Aaron Rodgers. I'm just choosing to hate on Aaron Rodgers today. I am going to pick the San Francisco 49ers just because of how this is not a Jimmy Garoppolo versus Aaron Rodgers game. This is a San Francisco 49ers run game versus the Green Bay Packers' ability to stop the run. Every game, it appears, thus far this season, the Green Bay Packers have completely lost the ability to stop the run, and having a and your defensive tackle in the process is just going to exacerbate those situations. So I have a real hard time, and the one thing that's great about running the ball all the time is you can keep the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hands. So I'm going to take San Francisco in a low-scoring ball control game. Give me the Niners.
Okay, Mike, your thoughts on this one? The Packers visiting the Niners, your thoughts on why?
So I'm actually, for some reason, I think the Niners. I know a lot of people are saying the Packers and really like them today. I think that the Niners do have the ability to run the ball. I think they're better on the defensive side of the ball. I think they find a way to get it done today and beat the Packers, but we'll see. I do think, to James's point, right, that he just said, though, I think this is very much a show-me game. He said for Jimmy G, but I think, to me, this is also a show-me game for Aaron Rodgers to say, look, you know, you saw what happened week one. Last week, you were kind of dormant in the first half. You made enough plays in the second half to win the ball game. But show me the offseason's behind you and you're really, really ready to play at a high level. I think this is kind of a show-me game or a prove-it game for both of these teams tonight.
Okay, I'm going to go with the Packers to pull this off. I think the Packers actually keep this thing going after the game that they had Monday night. A lot of people and money probably will push it towards San Francisco, but here is when I feel like the needle will start to move toward Garoppolo and the questions that start to loom as well. I do respect their defense. I do respect that they've actually been getting this done on the road as well, but it's just something about the Niners right now with their first home game. Everybody will be charged, and it's a Sunday night game. A lot of people are going to want to see them continue what they did to him previously, or the edge that San Francisco's had on the Packers. If people don't know what's been happening in the past couple times they've met, the Niners have had Aaron Rodgers' number. Hopefully he turns this one around. I'm going with the Packers. Is there anybody that I missed before we get into the Monday night and start to hold out on the show as well?
The villain you missed. I'll be brief. I like the Packers in this game. It is a show-me game for Garoppolo, but I think Aaron Rodgers proved that everything's fine in Green Bay. Everything's sunny in Green Bay. I think they go into San Francisco, a house of horrors for them lately, and get a win.
I agree. I'm standing together on this one. The last thing
If I can interject just one last thing on this. So exactly how did he prove it? By beating the crap out of the Lions? I mean, is that something
after game one. Everybody overreacted after the first game, so I think, you know, the overreaction was unwarranted. That's about it.
Oh, gotcha.
I think that second half when it rained made all the difference. Goff is not good in the rain, from which I have a guy that's a Pac-12 guy that told me that it was bad at halftime that the rain is starting to fall, and it happened. So the Lions made that a game. That rain is probably cost them a lot, and that's that. But we'll move right into the Monday night matchup. This is a very interesting matchup. I know Sirius is split in that house for real. I don't know which way he's going to go. Is he going to go Cowboys or is he going to go Eagles? This is great to see him stuck in the middle of a battlefield. The Eagles are visiting the Cowboys. The Eagles can't get started just yet. We'll see how this pans out. The Cowboys are 1-1. They finally get home and get to smell the soup in their kitchen. This is an interesting matchup. Who do you guys like and why? I'll start with you first on this one, Barry. Eagles or Cowboys, your division rivals?
My hate for the Cowboys and Eagles make it unable to pick this game. I just like to lament on the fact that, Collins got suspended for trying to bribe the drug testers. I think that's hilarious. I love it. If I had to pick, I'll pick the Cowboys, but I hate them both. I hate all their fans. Shout out to everybody in the kitchen. We love you.
Okay, your thoughts on this one, Mike. Who do you like, the Eagles or the Cowboys?
You know, conventional wisdom says go with Cowboys, especially being at home. But ever since I first saw this matchup, my belief is that the Eagles will find a way to win. I think they may be a little better defensively. I think they're going to have trouble corralling the mobile quarterback. There are a lot of things about Dallas that I like, and they very well could pull it out today. And maybe some of it, too, is I want to troll Cowboy Nation a little bit. But I'm taking the Philadelphia Eagles today.
Whoa, okay. There we go. Okay. James, your thoughts on this game? Your Eagles up against the Cowboys.
I was offered an Eagles snuggie to join the Philadelphia Eagles clan, but they did not trade the sixth-round pick for Teddy Bridgewater. That's all it took. That's all it would have to take. But I digress. I am taking the Cowboys in this game. I think it's mostly due to the high-powered offense. The Eagles do oddly find ways to win, seemingly on a weekly basis, but I think this is still the Cowboys' division to lose, and very often they do, but it's usually not this early. I'll take the Cowboys.
Yeah, I feel like this is a tough situation. Sirius, who do you like in this matchup, Eagles or Cowboys? I know your house is divided.
You know, man, it's unfortunate. You know, luckily I'm not sitting next to my wife right now. So I hate the Cowboys, but they're at home. We don't know what the status of Zach Ertz is going to be. He was on the COVID list, and now he's off the COVID list. The COVID situation is sweeping the Dallas Cowboys. So we're not too sure who's going to be available, what coach is going to be available to stat in the third. These divisional matchups, I mean, it can go either way with the flip of a coin. So when it's that close, I'm going to tend to lean towards the home team. So I'm going for the Eagles to lose. I'm not going to say the other thing, but I think the Eagles, it'll be a close one.
Okay, and I will go with the Cowboys taking this game also. Monday Night Football, I think it's electric for them to try and get this thing turned around and get their season on the winning side of the ball and help Dak get a little more confidence for what they have. I'm going to go with the Cowboys on this matchup. I need plugs and closeouts from each of you. We are getting ready to get set for our games and our teams to get pumped up for this weekend. I will start with you first on this one, James. Give me a plug, closeout, shout-out, anything that you'd like to promote as we leave the brunch today.
I had a great time picking the games with you guys. And that's it for me. I'll see you guys next week. Peace.
Okay. Mr. Simmons, plug, close out, shout out, and we shut the doors here at the brunch.
Man, it's your boy Sears up in that 412 and the 703, man. Such a tremendous pleasure to be here with you guys on another edition of Brunch. One of the things I wanted to pump before we get out of here, definitely check us out on www.sportscityshef.com. We got the blogs and the merchandise. Also, Tuesdays, myself and the villain do a recap show, everything NFL, 1 hour power, man. We hit it and get out, kind of recapping what we saw, little notes and nuggets. So definitely, if you got the time or have the ability, definitely check us out there. Check us out on Clubhouse. A lot of us that are here or over there kind of doing the very same thing with a much bigger group of people. So shout out to all those who paved the way to make that, you know, partnership thing. And one thing that I didn't get to say because I was late, and I said it in the group chat, give me the Lions pull off an upset today. Fan TP, but I think his Lions find a way to get that win. Again, the COVID situation is running wild amongst the Baltimore Ravens and the Dallas Cowboys, and I think, unfortunately, to the Baltimore Ravens' demise, that's going to be an issue that's going to be a little bit too hard for Lamar Jackson himself to overcome. So give me the Lions in the upset. But that being said, your boy Sirius is gone, man. Be good.
He thinks he's slick, people. He's a Steelers fan. Don't let him put mine and his relationship on the line. He's lying. He is lying with a G at the end because he's a Ravens hater. He's a Steelers fan. Believe me, he's up to no good. Mike, give me a plug, close out, shout out as we shut the doors here at the brunch.
Hey, man, much love and respect to you, TP, Barry, and Sirius, and James, all the sports chefs that have brought me in, let me feel part of the family. As Sirius said, check out the merchandise on sportscitychefs.com. Also, check us out at the barbershop on Clubhouse. Got a lot of cool things going on. Head over there around 1 o'clock Eastern time for kickoffs. We update touchdowns as they happen throughout the day. And just kind of a watch-along party. Also do the same on Saturdays during college football. So just a good space to come chop it up and talk about sports stuff with. We also have merch over there. And that's just a good environment to interact and chop it up with us. So check us out, and thanks again for having me. And it's always fun to sit down and serve it up with you guys here at the brunch. Thank you, Tom.
last but not least, the villain. Let's shut this thing down, bro.
Absolutely. They already said it all. Get to the website. We blogging, man. I need some blogs from all you boys, man. Mike, I'm waiting for you. Serious. I'll talk to you on Tuesday on the NFL Free-for-All show. The cookout on Wednesday, the baseball buffet on Thursday. We got the college tailgate coming back. Please get on the show with TP. We need ya. We love it. We got shows all week. The website is popping. We got big things planned. Sponsors are coming. Listen, we moving, man. We making moves, man. I love you guys, man. I'm out.
Yo, Barry, you should be thanking me and my Minnesota Twins. You should be thanking me for us taking care of the
Yankees,
doggone Blue
big
Jays.
Win, TP.
Wait, hold on. I didn't cut you off. I let you get everything off of your chest, and you didn't even thank me for what my Twins are doing to the Blue Jays right now. Okay?
So I did.
No, you did. No,
the poo-poo platter. Listen to the poo-poo platter on our YouTube channel. I gave you a shout-out.
Can I do my close-out, please? You could have did this some other time. Not while I'm at war here. So a little respect here, okay? This is what I asked for, just a little bit, you know? But this is how they treat me around here in Sports City. They're going with my team and trying to make it seem like we cool, and now you got all of a sudden these people are trying to talk about, they talked about the Twins, but they don't want to come here and show it to me first things first here in the doggone brunch. But this is, I'm starting to learn this. I get it. I know how these people play. They want to talk junk about my boys when I'm down. They like to kick me when I'm down, but when I'm up, they don't want to do anything with me. So you already know how this goes. They already told y'all, sportscitychefs.com. Check out the barbershop. Also, Barbershop Media, you'll get a lot of the news notes and cash giveaways. And we also got shirts, hoodies, hats, everything. Every which one of the sites that I'm in line with, we are going crazy. And love is love all day long. You already know how this thing goes down. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the Chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Sports City, Chefs. Sports City Chefs is in the room, cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman versus MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again. Sports City, Chefs.
Connecticut.